Welcome to the Talking About Horses podcast with Di Denton, where we talk about all things horses. From interviews with leading horse people and industry experts, to useful and usable ideas, resources and discussions, we're talking about horses. Today's Talking About Horses episode is brought to you by Muddy Creek Rain Gear, the riding rain gear that really works. Whether it's long, short or high-vis rain gear that you're after, there'll be something to keep you dry and comfortable in any range of weathers in the Muddy Creek Rain Gear range. Check it out at www.muddycreekraingear.com.au. So, if you're ready, let's get going. Another interesting episode awaits. Hi, it's Di Denton from Muddy Creek Rain Gear here, and this is the Talking About Horses podcast. I'm here today with Joe Briggs from Horse Welfare, a fantastic horse charity operation that runs out of Glen Oak in the Hunter Valley, New South Wales. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Di. Nice to talk with you today.
So tell me about Horse Welfare.
Look, we're a registered charity. We do horse rescue. We probably rescue, rehabilitate and rehome about 120 horses a year. So a small number, I guess, in comparison to what needs helping out there, but that's what we can manage at the moment. We're growing. When we initially started, we were rescuing 20 to 30 horses a year, so that has increased over the last 5 to 6 years. We've been operating in rescue since 91, but we've been an official registered charity since 2009. And we did that mainly because it allowed people the option to support us and get a tax benefit from it, and also because we wanted to do more and more fundraising ourselves, and of course you have to be licensed to do those sorts of things. So we went through all the official channels back in 2009.
Right. Now, Horse Welfare is Muddy Creek Rain Gear's favourite charity. We like to put back into the horses that we love so much. How many horses do you have on site?
Look, we've got about 40 at the moment. A couple of weeks ago we had 52. So they come and they go. So what our process is basically getting them in, assessing what needs to be done, whether that's a long-term or a short-term solution for that horse. And then, you know, we have constant inquiries about people wanting to adopt. So every horse goes out on an adoption contract. At the moment, for whatever reason, we seem to be incredibly busy, which is not a good thing, I guess, in our line of work. But we have had a few horses go to new homes in the last few weeks, and we have quite a few inquiries still coming in, but there's a lot of horses that just aren't ready to leave yet, so
right.
We keep them as long as we need to.
Fair enough. And where do these horses come from to you?
Yeah, look, they come from a number of different areas. For example, we're here now at the Manning Valley Horse Expo, which is in Wingham. And last night, after a training session we did, we whipped out to Mount George and had a look at 30 horses we've got to bring in from that area. So that's just a report in conjunction with the family that own these horses and the RSPCA, and they've asked us to help. So we're an RSPCA business partner as well. We work with a lot of the council rangers. We purchase horses through the knackery sometimes if we can see that there's a horse we can make a difference to. We have horses surrendered to us from people that are struggling to manage them. And we have horses reported to us on a daily basis. So some of those horses will approach the owner and have a discussion with them about whether we can help them, whether it's just an education issue that they don't understand what they need to do, whether they're struggling to do that financially, which everybody does, and or whether it's just a pure neglect case. And so, you know, we talk to the owners quite civilly about how we might be able to help and take that horse on.
Wow. I'm still getting over the 30 horses to do something with. How do you deal with such volumes of horses? I mean, one or two on a, you know, or even just single or pairs, but 30 in one hit?
Yeah, and that is tough for us because, as I said, we have 40 in at the moment, so we're at capacity. These are little horses, these are mini horses, and the duplication, the volume of 30 is that they're breeding indiscriminately, so they're just running mixed, stallions over mares all together. There's foals on the ground, and what's happening at the moment is there's no one on the property, so we've got mares foaling there, and the mares are foaling with having difficulties because mini horses quite often do. So there's you know, situation where we've been called in because neighbours have had to shoot horses that weren't, you know, getting through the foaling process and that was turning to disaster. So these are all unhandled horses. So what we do is we will market that through our Facebook fans and our website. We also speak to a lot of our contacts that might be in a position to take one or two, because they're all unhandled horses as well. It's not just a matter of bringing them in and feeding them and, you know, giving them a bit of a scrub up and finding them a home. There's a fairly comprehensive process we'll have to go through with these guys. Some of them are older mares that have never been handled. And I think the biggest problem is the stallions, because obviously they've established a fairly unique process for managing the herd. And they're pretty feral. So, yeah, wow. It's going to be a big job.
So your day sounds really full on. Give me a picture of your day.
Yeah, look, my day starts relatively early in the morning, depending. We have a roster system at one of our paddock to manage some of our horses. So we have a morning and an afternoon roster. If I'm on roster that day, I have about... I will start about 4:35 o'clock and start to feed my own horses. So I have a volume of horses at my place. So I also have about 10 rescues at my place as well. So I'll feed my horses and I'll feed those rescues that are at my place. Those ones that are there are probably the really sick ones that that need veterinary treatment 2-3 times a day, or those that are fairly badly emaciated and need to be watched. Or they might be the really feral, unhandled ones that have just come in that I can't expose to our volunteers, because not all of our volunteers are actually horse people. So I'll start with that. So that's a 2 to 3 hour process at home of a morning. And then if I'm rostered onto the other paddocks, then I start the process of driving around the other paddocks and getting all of those horses done. I also then go to work at some point. So I work full time. And I managed to fit that into my day. And I love this time of year because of daylight saving, I get those extra few hours at the end of the day. And I, by the time I'm finished everything, I'm usually inside the house by about 9:30 at night, maybe 10. Just depends what day it is and how much assistance we've had.
Wow. That's a big day every day.
Look, it is. And in between that, while I'm trying to work, I'm checking emails and I'm answering phone calls and addressing all of those sorts of situations. So, yeah.
Right.
Quite. See you later.
And so you have obviously a dedicated team of volunteers?
We do. It's a very small team. We have probably 8 to 10 volunteers that work with us, and not all of them live in the local area, so some of them will drive an hour or so to come and do their rostered on shift. I rely heavily on one or two of the volunteers to do most of the work at the moment.
Right. And so you said that there are various paddocks that these horses are kept in, so the property that where the base situation is set up at Glen Oak, how big is that?
It's about a 30 acre property, and it's only a couple of doors from my house, so it's very close to where we are. And in between that, we have another 8 acre quarantine paddock that we quarantine everything new that comes in.
Okay. I noticed on your Facebook page last night that you're looking for another property.
Look, we're always looking for land, and that's so that we can better manage our pasture by using a rotational process. So we don't like to overstock anything, and I guess the more and more today that people are aware of what we do, the busier we're getting and the bigger we're growing so quickly. We really do need land. I mean, we really need a 1,000-acre block is what we need to survive. We don't have that at the moment. We don't have access to it, but we're managing with the 20, 30, 50 acres that we've got. Most of our local volunteers own their own land as well. So they will have horses at their property as well. So, yeah, we spread it out. Really, logistically, that is a bit of a nightmare. And so, ultimately, our sort of 3 to 5 year plan is to get that big block somewhere with all the facilities on it that we need.
All set up, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So, from a general point of view, what do you see as the top four problems with or neglectful ownership, if you say, of horses?
Yeah, look, the top one would probably be education and people not understanding what they need to do. The second one would be ignorance. Ignorance is if I can't see it or, you know, I don't look at it, it doesn't matter. So a lot of people will get a horse, put it somewhere and not see it every day and simply not realise that you know, there's more to it than just that. So they're probably the two most common things. There is obviously blatant neglect, but probably the fourth thing, and I don't know whether I would rate them in that order, but it's one of the four, is overbreeding for no purpose. And so that is probably the most common thing we see, that people, you know, foals are beautiful and they're cute and they're lovely to see them, and then they grow up, but in between there, there's a process of doing what you need to do. You should have thought about why you were actually putting that foal on the ground in the first place. Mm. What purpose did it have? Do you have a market to sell it? You know, are you breeding it for any reason other than because it's cute?
Or because you can.
Yeah, or because you can, absolutely. Or because you're not even thinking about the fact that it's going to breed, because you're just running them out in this big paddock and you think that's all wonderful and rosy, and then next year you'll have foals. At some point or other, your paddock fills up.
Right.
And then you've got to address it.
So for the general public, if they see a horse down the road that's in the paddock and it's looking skinnier and they're watching it and that sort of thing, what should they be doing?
Initially, their first port of call is to report to RSPCA. I mean, look, if it's somebody that they know that owns the horse, they can talk to that person and say, look, do you realise that your horse is, you know, losing condition and that you might need to act on it? Quite often people are offended by that type of approach, so it doesn't, you know, it doesn't often help, and neighbours don't often want to talk to their neighbour or dob their neighbour in or any of those sorts of things. So the first port of call is RSPCA. They're very, very busy and they can't get to every call that comes out. So generally what we will say to people, because we have no authority to seize, we're not a legal body, we're not government sponsored, we're just a, you know, a simple little charity of passionate people. What we will do is we will talk to the RSPCA inspector as well. So if they've already logged the call and they've got a call number, give us a call if they feel that there's nothing happening or that they can't get there. We'll talk to the inspector. We'll find out what is going on. And it might not be that there's nothing happening, and it generally isn't that there's nothing happening. It's just that they're not in a position to tell those people what they're doing. So there are freedom of information laws in the country that RSPCA can't just go around and say, look, you dobbed this person in, this is what we're doing, this is what we've told this, you know, the people to do. So we'll talk to the inspector and we offer our assistance then. And so if it's something that the inspector can then say to that person, look, you know, we've got horse welfare here, they're willing to help your horse, are you happy to surrender it to them? Quite often that's what happens. If it's a worse case than that and that person's not willing to act or to surrender, RSPCA can either seize or prosecute that person, or both, and quite often we'll end up with the horses anyway.
Right.
So, yeah. So, look, it's an easy, you know, if it's in a position that they're overloaded at the time, it's certainly not that they're not going to act because they're overloaded. They will talk to us about what we can do to help, and if it's something we can work on together, we absolutely do.
Great. So, for people that want to support horse welfare or are looking for a charity, an animal charity that they're wanting to get behind, and there's many out there, and there are many good charities, but
absolutely,
like Muddy Creek Rain Gear, that, you know, we wanted to put our money where our mouth was for a local charity with horses. How can people help you? What's the best way?
Look, the best way people can help us is jump onto our website or our Facebook page, watch what we're doing, and see what they think they would like to be able to contribute. So it might be their time. It doesn't all have to be about money. That certainly makes the wheels turn for us, but it doesn't have to be about that. It could be about talking to the people that the company that they work for about a corporate sponsorship or a payment program that, you know, that the company backs as well. So we have a lot of people going through different charity organisations to fund us out of their pay now. So that you know, they'll just have an amount deducted every week that comes across to us, and then their company match that at the end of the month. So there's a whole lot of programs, workplace giving programs, that you might work for a company that do that. So that's one way you could do it. Spreading our word and just getting that, you know, the news out there about what we do and where we are, you know, that helps us big time. Sending our newsletter around, join up for our newsletter and then send it to everyone you know when you get it. So sharing what we do on Facebook and you know, getting us more likes and more supporters on Facebook. For every 20 people that see what we do, there might be one person that can help us that day in that particular case, whether it's about money, whether we need feed, whether we just need to find a paddock in a separate location. You know, there's so many things people can do for us.
Right. Sounds good. So just to wrap up, if there were three things that you could wish for at the moment for horse welfare. Product on the ground, helping hands, stock that would help your horses, what would they be?
Look, the thing that we use every day that we need always is feed. Feed is probably the absolute top of our list. The next thing is contacts where we can find larger acreages to spell. That's really important to us. You know, we don't want everything for nothing. We pay our adjustment fees, so we're happy to do that. We're just looking for the appropriate properties. And the third thing is money.
Money
always. It always comes back to money.
That's right. Well, look, thanks so much for talking to me today, Jo. It's been awesome. As you know, I love horse welfare. You do fantastic work, you girls, and I'm in awe of everything you fit into the day. So if anybody is interested in helping Jo or just wanting to find out more at horse welfare, the website is www.horsewelfare.com.au, or you can find out more information on their Facebook page. Give them a hand in any way you can. Thanks.
Thanks, Di.
Thanks for listening to the Talking About Horses podcast today. This podcast has been brought to you by Muddy Creek Rain Gear. Rain gear for people who love to ride no matter what the weather. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd love it if you were to subscribe, share it with your friends, and leave a review on iTunes. If you'd like to find out more about today's conversation topic or continue the conversation, then simply head over to the Talking About Horses podcast page on the Muddy Creek Rain Gear website at www.muddycreekraingear.com.au/news, where you can also check out their great range of wet weather gear. Thanks for listening. I'll be talking about horses again soon.